Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor.
Connor's here.
And Connor.
Hey! Sorry,
he's back.
I'm back, dude.
He's back like he never left.
He's back.
We're going to talk about the Crokhole Open.
Red is the new back.
Today, we're going to talk about a
there
little
he is.
Manufacturer's Cup, Trevor's Trivia.
I actually
have someone to compete against for Trevor's Trivia this week.
And boy, although are you going to compete.
Although I was pretty, I killed it kind of last week.
Yeah?
Connor. Yeah.
Yeah, Hunter is a mind.
We're going to go over some unique DGPT winners this season, talk about a DGPT survey, finally tackle our top 10,
just time willing, show.
And then style select.
It's going to be fun, I promise.
Before we get into all of that, we got to thank our sponsor of today's episode. Spice up your disc golf bag with disc golf pins and patches. Disc golf pins are high quality enamel pins that you can put on all of your disc golf gear and apparel. Each pin has a double pin back equipped with a butterfly clutch to safely and securely attach your pins to whatever you choose.
Sounds like the most high-tech pin I've ever heard.
Disc golf pins also offers a fun and creative lines of stickers, shirts, patches, and their newest disc golf game, Crazy Caddy Pro, recently featured on a Foundation video.
Mm-hmm. Awesome video. Watch it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Not now, though. Let's listen to the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, listen
first,
to the class. Algorithm.
With hundreds of designs and products to choose from, you can pick up the perfect pin and accessory to match your personality or support your favorite pro. Proceeds from your purchase will even go towards helping them on tour. So you can go to discgolfpins.com to start your collection today, and you can use code FOUNDATION for 20%
Holy
off your order.
Smokes.
Again, that's code FOUNDATION for 20% off of your order at discgolfpins.com.
I met the Disc Golf Pins people at USDGC this past year. They are so nice, and the pins are awesome. Awesome quality. I've got at least four or five in my bag at this moment.
I feel the same way.
They're awesome.
They're very cool.
Love disc golf pins. Please go support them. They rock.
A lot of fun.
They even have ones for your specific state, too.
If you're not a pin person, for whatever reason, I'm trying to be very clear, pin, P-I-N, because I sometimes pin and pen.
You're doing a really good job right now.
I say the same, pin and pen.
Yeah,
I'm impressed with you.
But if you're not a pin person, the Crazy Caddy game isn't a pin. It just claps onto your bag. It's like it has a carabiner. You can go wherever.
Little wheel, you spin it, it's like throw a backhand, throw a forehand, throw between your legs.
Well, the pro one gets a little crazier. The regular one is like really good practice tool. Of like you can just step up to a hole and
what if you had to throw lefty?
I'm a backhand only player. This is a good way for me to work on different aspects of my game.
Yeah,
that's true. Think about it that way. Spin zone.
All right. Before we get Crokhole Open, Connor, welcome back, man.
Thanks, man.
How's it feel to be back on the podcast?
It feels good. I also feel like I have no idea what's happening. Just to give everybody an update, is it okay with the information I've been updated with this morning? Is it okay for me to say that?
I don't know, but go ahead. Yeah.
So I walked in.
I have no idea.
And I haven't looked at any social media. Well, I have, but it's just been to go on there and post pictures of my son. Other than that, I haven't done anything. And I don't have no idea what's been happening in the disc golf world for the past 2 weeks, so I feel very out of it. And then Trevor just says, go on your Instagram. This is all you need to know. Go on your Instagram and go to Eagle McMahon's
page.
When he asked me if anything had happened in the disc golf world, I had to think about it a second, and I was like, oh, only the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, so I got to hear that song.
Wind Dragon?
Yeah. It's my new favorite Owl City
song.
Can
I just say for a second how crazy it is, not disc golf related, that all three of us managed to have firstborn sons.
That is crazy, too.
Yeah.
What a crazy life. We just secured this business.
Yeah.
We're going to force them all into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, you see what dad's doing on the camera? You better figure it out. You better learn how to do that Trevor's Trivia thing. Okay. Yeah.
What would Brooks's trivia be?
Dang, that's a shame. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, why didn't you name him with a T?
Dang, man. Brooks's
maybe
Brooks's Babble?
That's Brooks's book.
He can run the banter.
Brooks's banter.
Stupid failure. Only did the banter.
Whatever. Well, Luca can take over the trivia section. It'd be Luca's lies. And they're all lies.
True or false? They're all false. Connor, what's your review?
It's a really frustrating.
What's your review of the music video, though? I have to know.
I thought it was really funny. I don't know if I thought it was funny for the reasons that it was intended to be funny.
Let me tell you the beauty.
I thought it was funny because I was like, oh, there's a second verse.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there's a third verse. And it just kept on going. And then I clicked on it and saw how much longer was in the video. That made me laugh really hard that it kept going. But again, I'm not sure I was laughing for the reasons I was supposed
to. It's such a funny thing because
I thought it was
watching somebody react to it. It starts and it's so long. And then there's like the little speaking piece. And then it's still another like break, and it takes like 2 minutes for the beat to drop, and then he's like the singing comes in, and then, like at that point you're so shocked because you're like, I thought I knew what I was looking at by that point.
Like, yeah, it says all the B-roll, and you're like, oh, this is interesting. Like, and then you see him in the costume, and you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. Yeah. And then he starts singing.
Came
it's
out
a whole nother level.
It felt like the Masked Singer, like that
it
show.
Did. Yeah,
that was Disc Golf's mask. Dude, how did I miss that one? Oh my gosh,
he wasn't wearing a mask.
I know, but photoshopping him onto the Masked Singer like show, like on the stage,
that would have been
so funny.
I think I'm gonna perform.
Is it
that
dead
song
yet?
Live
is it dead yet, or can I still do that?
You can try it.
I'm gonna go to an open mic night and I'm gonna perform that song.
It's a pretty good song. Grammy nominated.
One thing
mind
that
you.
I feel like
Tony nominated.
Oh, we're gonna
well.
Definitely gonna have to give out a grippy for that.
I don't want to allow it to control.
We have to give out a grippy for
we
that.
We do have to give
I'm
out.
I'm gonna
a
write that,
that
down. I'm doing a better thing this year where I'm like starting to write these down.
That way,
and we're gonna have way better grippy award. Because
so I'm knee deep in AI.
What if we just give him a grippy award for a Grammy? Like it's a Grammy award, but it's a grippy award.
It's a grippy award for most likely to win a Grammy.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm knee deep right now in
the water somewhere.
trying to make a AI song. Yeah, that's what I've been looking at. Because I was like, we were gonna do this later in the show. Let's just kick it off with this, right? Connor's back. Vibes are high.
Hey. You're going to hear us all be very nice to each other because usually whenever we all kind of return from not seeing each other for a while, the animosity doesn't sink in until like at least the afternoon.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to allow it to control my MIDI devices. I don't even know what my devices are.
It's already controlling your MIDI devices, man. If you're just
getting
now reading
started.
That, you're off the grid.
What are we even looking at right now?
You're in the system.
I want both.
AI, we'll probably have to start with, like the lyrics are probably going to
Let's start with AI lyrics. Okay.
Can we have it sing it, too?
That's what I'm hoping it'll allow me to sing it as well. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I want just a full-on
What is
a
our
song?
Mood, style, or genre that we want?
Oh, probably.
How about we all say one genre and we combine them?
Are there options?
I think we can just type. This is AI, baby.
It is AI.
You just free ball.
I'm going.
I feel like it should be a hip-hop song. So I'm going to write hip-hop.
Okay.
Okay, hip-hop. I'm going to say fusion.
Fusion. Can we just say like old-school hip-hop?
Old-school fusion hip-hop.
There we go.
Because I want, like, old-school hip-hop.
Yeah, old-school fusion hip-hop. I don't know what fusion is, but...
I'm going to write clean in there, just because we learned prior to this episode that...
Dude, AI's got limits.
AI will write some crazy
AI
stuff.
AI may or may not have dropped
things that I didn't realize that they had the authority to say.
I was, like, I was testing this with ChatGPT, and it just wrote some heinous lyrics.
Yeah. It's very inhumane, but it's because it's... Not a human.
So I'm going to write disc golf first. Any other things we should put in here? What else should we write it about? Should we write foundation disc golf?
Well, do we want to give it a...
throwing?
Do we want to give it a theme? Though? Like, do we want to give it a story? Like, somebody trying to win a disc golf tournament?
Yeah,
let's try that.
Winning a disc golf tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so there's a story to it. This Creative. Is every good country song has a story.
It's true.
This is going to be the next Chris Stapleton.
Except for it's... Fusion old school hip hop.
All right, I've got the lyrics.
Okay.
Okay. That is imported.
This is incredible. Now what happens?
Okay.
Number one disc golf podcast.
How many verses is there?
Three
verses.
Oh, grip locked rap. Okay.
The chorus is everything.
Oh, there's a rap now?
I don't know. Random song generator. Oh no. I shouldn't have hit that.
You're gonna ruin it.
Lyric saved successfully.
Oh,
okay.
Thank goodness. What just happened? Turns out what Eagle McMahon.
Well, let me tell you. Let me just read you the first lyrics of this new one. It just redid, and I just think the first two lines are funny. Yo, listen up. Let me spit some truths in this old school fusion clean hip hop booth.
Hey, you went right for it.
Yeah, wow. That was a random one, though.
That was random. Okay, so I did that. AI instrument now, please.
Oh, can we add? Is there a one for voice?
What are you doing this
vocals?
On?
No free ads.
No free ads.
Okay. Sorry about that.
What should it create? How dare you? Old school
fusion
hip hop. Who's prepared to perform this if it
doesn't do it? I don't
only
think
musician
I could do this
here,
to myself.
It's
I do
Connor.
Think it has to be
Connor. Yeah, it was Hunter.
I think it has to be Connor. All right, well, this is Fusion
Groove.
I'm
not going to do this, just to be clear.
Number one.
Fusion Groove number one. Okay, let's run it. What if it's so loud? What am I listening
what
to?
Let's try. Oh, I got had to upgrade for more music. Okay.
That's actually way funnier though. If like,
customize sample in the editor.
That's some dope fusion, old school hip hop.
Okay, so just take the lyrics and see if you can find an AI singer, and then just copy them in.
Good idea.
Good idea.
AI singer.
There's just different layers of AI.
AI voice song generator. Get started. It's free. Thank
get
you.
Started.
There we go.
It's free.
Get started.
I'm signing up for so many.
Yeah, Hunter's getting wrecked right now.
Hello there. Welcome back. Convert voice. Select a voice. Royalty free voices.
Can we have Michael Bublé?
No, dude.
I show speed.
Oh, these are AI voices. Like, we can make
Kendrick Lamar
do our song.
Yeah, we should
definitely
have Kendrick Lamar do it. Okay.
Big Ken.
I have to upload audio.
Is that who they're talking about when they say Kenny?
No.
In disc golf? They're talking about Kendrick Lamar?
Yes.
I want to do it just from text. You know what I'm saying? This, I have to record audio.
Man.
Yeah, dang. That's crazy how we're 12 minutes into this episode.
Connor, dude, you just got back.
Yeah, Connor, dude, I don't understand.
I'm
what's
so
going
sorry.
On here.
I thought it was funny.
We
I wasn't
free
trying to
text
be mean.
A song in AI music.
We've been doing
generate
a
song.
New song every episode since you've been gone.
Yeah, this is part
since
of what
you've
we
been
do.
Gone
you
by
guys
Kelly
wrote
Clarkson.
Since you've been gone?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Pick your song. Let's just do. Do we like that?
Oh, heck yeah,
sure.
Dude.
We like Levitate?
Hit him with it.
Sure, that sounds great.
Ed has dope. A pop voice with a warm and soothing tone.
Ed sounds great.
Yeah, dude, I love warm and soothing tones.
Okay, test the voice.
He's beautiful.
Okay, we like Ed.
No
he
kind of
looks
good
like
singing
Connor.
As well.
Did you notice that? He's a redhead
he did
with a beard.
Kind of look like Connor.
Ed Schron?
Okay. Lyrics. Back to lyrics. Okay. Here is our lyrics. Let's copy that in. This should be what I was looking for here.
Yeah, this is... I'm really excited right now. Is he only going to sing or is it going to be music behind
him? Oh, is it only going to be one verse? Only one sentence?
Doesn't matter. It's all one sentence.
What? I think I can only do one sentence.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yo, listen for this fusion old school hip hop disc golf beat.
Create
that's
song.
That's going
to
be it.
Well, that's a bummer.
Login/sign up. Well, this is what we're going to have. All right. Enter
we're
with
have one
Google.
Verse of our song.
Well, you just is a taste. This is a taste for everyone.
Okay, this will be a teaser. Full song drops next week.
You know what? I take back everything. This was so much work for Eagle to go through.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm really impressed.
Create song, please.
I think this is harder all than right, writing and
song.
Than writing
there's,
the song.
I'm in queue. There's one creator ahead of me.
Now it's going.
Okay, Ed's recording for
this
us.
Is,
he's recording the booth.
This is just the teaser. Keep in mind.
Here we go.
This is like when the guy from Parks and Rec, when Ben does the
claymation.
I can't wait for
the new disc called
long.
The Get Teaser.
You're going to ruin your mic tent. It's going to uppercut you. You're going to twist it one way and it's going boom. Hit you right on the chin. Is this a pass through? Can I charge my phone in there?
I don't think so, D Dog. I gotta talk like this because I am waiting for Ed's still in the recording booth.
This is a crazy.
Come
oh,
on,
here we
Ed.
Go. Here we go.
Big
we got
Ed.
It.
Come on, Big Ed. Steady right. Ed. Can we call him Steady Ed? On the course I'm in, my zone throwing. It's like a pro with precision and focus. I love my talent, however,
like every putt. I'm on fire. This is the whole song. Hope no, that's it.
That wasn't, I'm not gonna lie, that wasn't that great. Yeah.
I think I put on a dragon costume and we drop it.
I don't think that his inflection was very good.
Yeah, he was not really.
Ed kind of sucked.
It was like.
I think the beat didn't match.
He recorded it like he was a human who hadn't read the words yet, but he's a computer. I feel like he should have known better.
All right. Well, turns out what Eagle McMahon did should be praised.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Good job,
to be able
most
to
likely to win a Grammy.
Yeah. It's not that song.
We just confirmed.
But we did just get our second nomination.
That is true. Ed is
throw
on
this
the
disc
right
with. Precision.
I we might have to have some type of rap punishment in the future.
Gosh, that's painful.
Yeah. Well, it's punishment.
I got goosebumps already from how uncomfortable I am.
Crocol open. This is what you actually come for, not the first 15 minutes of this episode.
Every time you say that, I think you're saying Crokinole, like the game.
Yeah. I actually want to play Crokinole now.
Should we do that now
this
instead?
Table kinda, this table kind of reminds me of a
table. I have a broken old table. I'll bring it for the banter. That's a good banter.
You bought one?
Yeah, I bought one right after we went to Brody's house.
Talk about a crazy purchase.
Yeah.
Like, we were so high on that game.
I played it like 3 times.
Yeah. It's a great game.
I have the like shaker salt and everything you do for it.
That's awesome.
It's a blast.
Play it on the banter.
I'll bring it for the banter if I can remember. Ricky Wysocki took it down over Jakub Semerad, and Vino Makala came in third.
Dude, Ricky's back.
We had Chris and Tatar winning on FPO over Silva Saarinen, stopping her DGPT streak. And then Anneli came in third. I'm not going to try her last name. I'm sorry.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I just feel like I don't feel like
AI
I would do
to
it.
Sing that for us.
I don't feel like I would do it justice. But Kristen's back like she never left. She knocked off Silva from her DGPT streak. They were actually tied heading into the final round there, and then Kristen was able to just pull ahead. I was very excited for the final round because up to this point when we've seen Silva playing, like, there hasn't been anything that's shaken her. Not that she got shook in the final round. There was like rain and the weather wasn't the best, but Kristen went 6 under, Silva went even. She actually had the lead pretty early in the round. I think through 4 holes she was up by 2 through 4 holes, and then Kristen took it back. And once Kristen took it back, she really just never looked back.
Yeah.
Silva was able to score. She just had too many bogeys that offset it. Like, she had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 birdies, but had 6 bogeys as well. Whereas Kristen had 8 birdies and 2 bogeys.
That's math.
Kristen wins by 6. It was exciting though, because round 1, Silva came out in the lead 6 under. Kristen was lurking back there at 3 under, but like, she was definitely still in it. We actually had Anakin in second right there. And then by round 2, Kristen fired off a 7 under, and they were tied at 10 under. That was where the excitement was. Yeah. And then round 3, Kristen takes it.
Question.
Answer.
Where were Evelina and Henna?
I don't think they were here, were they?
Correct. They were not.
They just played the Finnish Nationals. Actually, Evelina,
I don't know
just,
how far away things are in up there in Scandinavia, so maybe, well, it was just a situation where they were just like, we're not going all the way out there to Norway.
Because Evelina won the Finnish National Championship, actually beat Silva there by, 9 strokes? And I believe Henna was here too. Maybe I was wrong. Yeah, Henna came in 5th there. So they both played that. Silva made the trek. Actually, a lot of players made the
trek to play.
It can't be far.
Where are these places at?
Finland to Norway. Well, Oslo, Norway.
Okay, Oslo.
Where was Finnish Nationals?
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what I want to know. Because like, I think we all need a little perspective on what we're actually talking about. Right,
Finnish Nationals was in Sipoo, Sipoo, Finland.
All right. They're far. Yeah, it's like you got to fly. I mean, is that actually, like, can you drive that?
Is there a bridge there? It has to be. Maybe there's like a...
Is that actually a thing? There's a bridge that goes...
Well, is there a bridge, or is it like one of those you get on like
a
ferry?
No, that's a boat. You get on a boat. So, it's not like it's a casual little travel.
It's like from here to Texas.
Yeah, I don't know what the flight would be. Yeah, it's far.
So it's like a few-hour flight.
It's far.
So, yeah, Evelina did not make the trip. Evelina or Henna.
That's fair.
So Kristen took it down, Silva second. The only other, Ella Hansen was over there and Paige Pierce. There wasn't many other U.S. talent that made it over, but 2 Pro Tour winners from this year.
We got the duel we wanted, honestly, because, I mean, really the only storyline to shake out here was Kristen coming back versus Silva, who's been dominating, and we got a really exciting. I wish the final round would have stayed exciting.
Yeah.
But that was the duel we wanted, and I think the result doesn't shock me. I think it's a good win for Kristen because immediately she was able to go in and squash somebody with a lot of momentum, and I think that's a good boost. I think that'll put Kristen right back on track. I mean, she had an injured rib, so I don't know. You know, once that heals up, it's not like there's a ligament injury, arm injury, anything that to where I'm sure I'm not saying it wasn't painful, but that's not going to be sitting in the back of your mind.
Yeah, like once you don't have pain, it's not like you're worried about re-injure. Oh, if I move my elbow a weird way, which obviously she had that elbow injury last year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see Missy Gannon. I would imagine is going to be at the European Open. She is. So the European Open will give us the full battle we really want, as long as Owen Scoggins also there. Owen Scoggins not going to be there, but. We'll have Kristen, we'll have Missy, we'll have Evelina, we'll have Henna, we'll have Ella, Silva, Kat Merch, Paige Pierce. Like, it'll be essentially a full field minus Owen Scoggins. That's the full battle we want to see. because I want to just see where Silva stacks now, right? She's had this huge successful stretch. She hasn't finished outside the top, well, other than the A tier. Actually, no, she still finished top three. Hasn't finished outside the top three since Champions Cup in April. She came in fourth there. So it's just been a very dominant stretch. It's like when the field gets full again, what does that still look like?
Yeah.
In my opinion from this weekend, right, is I feel like the MPO and FPO are flipped in this aspect where I feel like the top talent almost in FPO, and we've known this for a while, I think, is European, mm-hmm. right? If you look at, you have Kristen, Silva's up there, Anakin Steen's been up there. You've had Lucky Lawrenson, or Like, I think's her name. She's Throw Like Lucky on Instagram.
That's true.
Is what I pronounce
That's
Lucky.
That's a sick name.
But you've had several of those players, and then on the flip side, you have Missy Gannon, Owen Scoggins, Paige, if you want to throw her in there, but very up and down.
Wouldn't do it.
Cat's out of there. So, whereas on MPO, it's definitely a little bit more US Pro is the top of the field. Flipping over to MPO, only thing I want to talk about on FPO actually is Kristen now has 3 Pro Tour wins on the season, yet she's still 6th in the DGPT standings because she hasn't played many events. So I'll be very interested as events start to drop, like as, because you can only take, I think, 10 Pro Tour events, mm-hmm. 14 total events. As those events start to drop, I'll be very curious as to how things actually shake out. Yeah. Like, where is she actually? Because right now she's 200 points behind Owen Scoggins. And Missy Gannon. Missy actually might be in the lead now, but they're like neck and neck. She's 200 points behind that race. But where is she actually? Like, yeah. I wish there was a way to just find, like, adjusted where she is, because she should still hit the 10 Pro Tour as long as she doesn't have another injury. She should hit that, and it'll be very interesting as things start to squish back together where she ends up.
I'd definitely much rather watch a slightly wounded field in Europe for the FPO than in the U.S. where we were just basically getting Missy own. And like
Holland Hanley was popping up there, yeah.
I'd much rather see this end of the field with the European players.
Yeah, oh, that's actually a good question. I wonder if Holland will be at the European Open, because that's another player to throw in the mix here.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because that's the tough part, is just, it's so hard to get a full field. No. She's not. It's so hard to get a full field during this stretch.
Yeah.
Because like then we're just missing out on certain players.
This season's been bizarre. Like,
just so spread out.
It's crazy. Like, you take for granted those events at the beginning of the year where everybody's there. Like, I need to, like, remember that next year. Like, hey, these events are really important because, if there's going to be a huge stretch of the season potentially where we just both fields aren't completely together.
Yeah, because during that stretch, you had Kristen. I misspoke earlier. Kristen just took down her 4th Pro Tour because she took down Waco. Yeah, I overlooked Jonesboro, Music City. She took down, and then she went on the stretch where she just came back from. Because she missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 events, Kristen.
That's insane.
Like, we haven't seen her since Champions
Cup. She missed 9 events, and I think 4 puts her in the lead for most wins.
I believe so.
I think Owen and Missy have 2 or 3?
I think Evelina has 3.
Or, yeah,
at 1, 2, 3.
Evelina
has 3. Missy, I think, just got her 3rd. Yes, Missy has 3. So Kristen should be in the lead with 4 wins.
And she missed all those events.
And she missed 9 events. Because she won Waco full field, completely full field.
Yeah.
She won Jonesboro, completely full field. Music City, not a full field, missing Missy and Owen. And then she won here, not a full field. Whereas Missy's wins have come, she won U.S. Women's, obviously that was a full field. She won DDO, relatively full field, missing Kristen. And then she won the Preserve, missing Kristen.
Yeah.
And Evelina and
Heather. Other competitors have had impressive wins, for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely been an interesting season. I'm just curious, once the points shake up, like, where do we actually stand right now? Because I feel like it's pretty close who's the number one player in the world.
It should be.
Kristen just is out of that conversation points-wise because of she missed 9 events. You can't miss 9 events and be in the middle of the season.
Right.
On MPO side, Ricky absolutely dominated the course this weekend. He went 13-under course record round 1, 12-under round 2, and then coasted home during the final round. Yeah. He still put up an 8-under, but just coasted home. Only player to go bogey-free all weekend out there.
And that course, to go bogey-free out there, there were some challenging holes.
Very.
Some really, really tough holes. I mean, that par 4, I think it was playing, the par 4 was playing second hardest. It was on the back 9. I can't remember hole. It was playing second hardest for the weekend. It was probably 14 then.
14's a par 3.
Hmm. Maybe it did end up playing. No, it was
the
like,
hardest is hole 5. On the back, you had
Is this 12? For all the rounds?
This is round three. Oh. I can't. There's no way to see all the rounds.
Well, it was like 790 feet. Like, it was far. It was a far hole.
755, hole 17? It might, that you're thinking of? Or 17? Hole 15, 984, par 5? 791 played as the easiest hole.
Well, wasn't that one. It might have been.
Oh, wait. There you go. Hardest hole. 791, par 4.
Yeah. Okay, so it was hole 8. Yeah, that hole was unreal. You're like throwing like down a tunnel and then this like blind hyzer into the woods that was like, I remember just seeing where players' drives were landing and being like, that was one of the most unreal drives I've ever seen, and then having to see what they were doing on their second shot. And I was like, how is that drive still required that like 400-foot blind hyzer? It was crazy.
62% of the field bogeyed that in round 3.
Bogey free's nuts.
But yeah, I mean, there were several holes that, let's look at the bogey percent. I mean, final round you had 62% bogey in hole 8. That doesn't include double bogeys, which is another 20% double bogey plus.
A lot of that course
like,
is
there's a lot of holes on this course that over 50% of the field was bogeying or worse.
There's some tight greens, and a lot of that course too was, if you got into like all of the forest that surrounded the greens and the rough were like that those kind of forests where you could hit the first tree and just be on the edge and have a putt out or an easy throw out, or if you get that one unfortunate slot where you just get sucked all the way in and then you turn around and look back out and you're like, how do I get out of here?
There's a lot of elevation near greens where too, like if you went down, I don't remember what hole it was, but it was on the front nine. You were approaching a really slanted green, very tucked in, OB kind of bubbled up and came in and went around. You had this basket on a slanted green, and then if you went in the woods, it just kind of, you were gone.
Just dropped
like if
out.
You just went down there, it was just kind of
water
best of
in
luck.
Play as well. Really,
it was
really
a very hard course.
Really, I mean, it's an incredible course.
Yeah, but like I said, only player to go bogey free, kind of just dominated. It was interesting to see the U.S. talent mix with the European talent, because of the top 20, 12 were U.S. touring pros. If you extend it to the top 25, 15 were U.S. touring pros. So the top 20, pretty close to a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
If you look at the top at the podium out here, now it was the European pros that have come over and toured, right? Mm-hmm. You had Ricky winning, then you had Jakub Semerad, Vino Makala, Niklas Antila, right behind him.
I mean, those three have been like kind of the guys as in Europe right now. I like obviously Niklas especially has been incredible.
Very much
but,
so.
But Vino and Jakub has been, I think Jakub is so underrated because he's been so impressive for like a couple seasons now and just hasn't been able to get that pro tour win, but it's coming. And like, if you look at this tournament, if it weren't for Ricky just shooting the lights out, like Jakub was making it a competition. Like he was staying with him.
He was the only one that was
close. He would have won on any other weekend where Ricky wasn't just going ballistic. Cause there was a lot of other talented players in that field that did not shoot as well. Like you had some of the best, I mean, Gannon Burr, for example.
AB was there.
Well,
this is
the pace, AB.
This is a great tournament because you had the only
really
top player missing was Calvin Heimberg.
Yeah,
which is funny that
it's pretty impressive. Paul finished as high up as he did.
To pause, did you hear why Calvin ended up playing the back-to-back events?
He felt bad. He forgot to unsign up.
I don't even know if you probably while you were gone, Connor. We had the most mind-boggling thing that happened. Okay, Calvin Heimberg played a tournament, then flew over to play the Swedish Open.
Mm-hmm.
Believe?
Yeah,
flew over to Sweden. Okay, to play a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Not that crazy. He showed up the night before the event, played the round blind, didn't play great, right? Played his three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
He was still signed up for Des Moines that started like 3 days later.
Okay.
Back in the U.S.
Yeah.
On the preview show, we're like, that's just wrong. He's not playing it. Like, there's no way.
Because,
he just played the Swedish Open.
All the events are coming up in Europe.
Yeah,
why would you fly back?
He's clearly just going to stay in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then they gave him a tee time. And then he played the Des Moines Challenge. We're like, what is this dude doing back? And then he like came out and during a press conference or whatever said like he basically originally signed up for both events and forgot to tell the TD he wasn't going to play the Swedish Open. Mm. And so he felt bad because like they were expecting him. They were excited for him to come. So he was just like, we'll just send it. So he just flew over there, played the event, and then flew straight back to the U.S., played Des Moines, and now is headed back to Europe for the European Open.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very relatable because I'm that guy who can be in the drive-thru and, like, they forget my ketchup and just be like, I just don't want to inconvenience them, which is, like, obviously
a little different than hopping on an international flight.
But I'm just saying, like, I have that personality trait where, especially if I feel like I did something wrong. Now, the drive-thru thing's different, but, like, this thing where it's, like, if I felt like I should have let them know they were looking forward to it, I could have seen myself doing the same thing, being like, yeah, I'm just going to send it.
Especially being Calvin Heimberg, where like it's one thing if you're not to, I'm just Greg Barsby.
Okay? Oh, not Greg.
I scrolled down and looked. I scrolled down and he was the first one. Or James Proctor.
Oh.
Right, where like People are going to be excited you're coming over.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're the number one player in the world over the last several seasons.
Yeah.
Like Calvin, yeah. Where like people are like,
he's like making the
tournament. People are probably
good.
Making plans like, I get to go watch Calvin
yeah.
play.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That
that's a different, that's a different ball game when
shout
you're like,
Calvin, he's got grit.
Shoot, I forgot to tell him I'm not coming. And like people have like made trips, probably planned trips from hours away, maybe different countries because Europe's way closer, like different countries to come watch me play. I got to get over there.
Dang.
So he did that. He went over, but he didn't come back for the Crocol Open.
Calvin
so.
Just became my late grandfather's favorite disc golfer.
Okay.
Yeah, because my grandpa, Kennedy, he one time my grandma was buying a entertainment system off of Facebook Marketplace, and she messaged these people and said that she was interested in this one that was for like $300. And then like a day later, she found the exact same one. Somebody was listing it for like $80. And she was like, never mind, I'm going to get this one instead. And my grandpa said no, that she had to go buy the $300 one.
And because like, she had told him they were interested.
And all she said was she was interested. And I was like, Grandpa, why'd you make her do that? And he said, man's nothing without his word.
There you go. Yeah. He,
so, you know what, Calvin? A man is nothing without his word.
Yeah,
you
he
just got
over.
Grandpa Kennedy's approval.
That'd be an award.
The Grandpa Kennedy Award.
Sticking to your word.
Yeah, so Beaver State ended on June 9th. He had plenty of time to get over Sweden, played June 28th through the 30th, and then flew home. Crazy. But he didn't play the Crocol Open, but he was the only player that was missing.
Good for him.
But yeah, Jakub had 28 under, Ricky 33 under, and then Vino was at 23. So Jakub was five clear of the field. It's similar to when Paul and Eagle were having the European Open shootout, where it's like Eagle won.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, any other weekend, Paul would have just obliterated the field.
Yeah, the rest
it's
of
it's a similar thing of like,
it's a huge group behind
Ricky
him.
Won by five. If Ricky's not there, Jakub Simrad wins by five. But it's just like, since Ricky was there, you don't get your flowers. Sorry.
No flowers.
Sorry, Jakub.
I like Jakub a lot.
The other, so because what ended up happening leaderboard wide is you have Jakub Simrad, Vino Makkala, Nicholas Anttila, and then it goes the group of U.S. pros, Joseph Anderson, Paul McBeth, Adam James, Yuli, A.B., Gannon Bird, Jake Wolf, Eagle McMahon. And then you have some European talent we haven't heard of that much, which is Peter Lund, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Mm.
Timu Talikkanen.
Very good.
Joona Heininen.
We've heard of him.
Yep. Ramses Tuominen.
Very good.
And then a Matthew Oram.
And Randon Lada kind of sounds like it.
Randon Lada, yeah. I thought it was funny. Like, I was going down counting, and I saw Samuel Heininen. I was like, oh, he's European. I was like, his first name's Samuel. I should double check. He was European. Yeah, he's from Finland.
Fair enough.
You just see Samuel, man. I just didn't know.
You just didn't know.
But yeah, it's like I said, 12 of the top 20 American, 8 of the top 20. Like, it's almost 50-50.
Let me
50,
tell you a takeaway I had from this event.
Tell me.
Trevor's takeaway.
I saw a larger collective of this type of shot than I've ever seen at a disc golf tournament, and this is the somebody trying to take a disc that's hecka flippy and throw a really inside-out hyzer flip with it when it probably doesn't need to, and shanking it left because you give it too much hyzer and you release it early left. Mm. And that's relatable because I've
bad
done
feeling.
That.
It's a terrible
I saw
feeling.
Some really good players throw that shot. And on situations where I'm like, what happened to just the good old-fashioned turnover, guys? Just take a neutral disc or maybe something with some ability and give it some anhyzer, you know? A good shark throw. You know?
Well, there's no such
thing. I just had never, I don't think I'd ever seen some players of this caliber. Like, I saw AB and Paul both throw one where they went for that inside out hyzer flip with a really flippy disc and they released it on so much hyzer that just shanked it left.
Well, I think if you go with the hyzer flip, you can get it to
more straight
still
distance.
Come back.
Well, there's,
okay. Whereas if you go neutral on Annie, it'll hold. And then if you go overstable on Annie, it has to get right quick. It won't push straight first.
They shanked it into the woods. So I think that would have been better.
Well, yeah, it would have been better than what they did, but you can understand what they were trying to do of like get a disc to fly
I'm
straight, move right, and then flatten straight down versus like.
I'm a fundamentals guy.
I get
man.
What you're saying.
Bounce passes and layups.
Yeah. The course is incredible, though.
You mean skip
the,
shots?
Obviously, the property yeah. played a big role in it. But I think now that I've seen several European tournaments, and I'm going to try to phrase this in a way that doesn't take away from the communities that put so much effort into the courses in the U.S., but the. I think it's we don't have as much control over the property, maybe.
We also
but
might not have the resources.
Maybe not the resources. They treat disc golf so seriously over there that, like, the course just, the grass was manicured to a level you don't see unless you're on a golf course.
Yeah.
In the U.S., basically, the OB is marked so clearly and so professionally with stakes. I still think a big part of it is just there's the pull back on advertisements, because mm-hmm. I think the European Pro Tour must be sold separately. So, like, the OB is not just lined with Zuka, 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 you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nothing against Zuka. It's just, like, when they have all of the yeah. banners, they just repeat whatever brand you choose. That just makes it look a little cheaper.
Sure.
And then, like, the mulch around the baskets, the even the fairways in the woods didn't have, like, sticks laying all over it. The grass looked like you couldn't even find an acorn out there. The tee pads, a lot of the tee pads were really nicely built up. There was a lot of, like, wood building up the greens. Like, just the attention to detail and, like, how much went into this course really played through the camera, which this is the number one course in the world. UDisc, according to UDisc.
It looks it.
And it looked it. It felt it.
I'd like to know the context of what kind of funding and care goes into the course. And, like, is it a matter of, like, oh, they just want it more? Like, they're just trying harder? Or is it just, like, is there things we don't know? Like, yeah, oh, by the way, this park is funded by this incredibly wealthy family. Or all the effort poured in by disc golf is this army of volunteers that are also like where is it coming from? Because at the end of the day, we do have a lot of great properties and disc golf properties in the U.S. certainly.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, I mean, some of their geography just happens to already afford some really scenic shots, but like the little brooks that run by the green or little man-made ponds, like that is things that can exist. It just takes money and effort.
Look at their website design.
They go hard in the paint.
As you're like scrolling on the website, the crocoldgc.norway, it has like a flight tracker that like takes you down like you're playing holes. It's all in Norwegian, so I don't know what it's saying.
Can we do that on our site?
It's very cool. I don't know how to do it. So it's 50 Nokia currency. Nokia. It's 50 Razer flip phones.
I was about to say the same thing.
It's 50 of Norway's currency. You can book on the Sweet Spot app. They have an app to book tee times on, which is sick. It's definitely a golf app. But yeah, it's 50 to play out there. I don't know. Let's translate that to U.S. dollars. USD. $5. $5 for a round. So
that's makes perfect so sense. Reasonable.
It's actually free if you play. The course is free to play weekdays before 12 and weekends after 5. So basically just pay to play in the prime time.
That's awesome.
I was trying to see. It is seasonal, so I don't know if this is like.
So they're not generating a ton of revenue that way. So that's
the clubhouse has a cafe on the first floor and disc golf pro shop on the second floor.
We're going here.
Cafe serves burgers, sandwiches, hot dogs, and ice cold beer, plus other food and drinks and snacks. You can call in your order.
Dang.
Pro Shop covers all your needs. Tells you how to get there by bus. I was trying to see, like, what is this park? Like, is this just a disc golf course? Is there something else that goes on here? You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
What is the property, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
does
I can't really
own the
find
property
that.
Or is it a public park? Like, if you go to the map, does it say, like, so and so park? Probably isn't the way I would have Googled that.
I don't know how to Google
it.
I'm
maybe gone for, like, a park. Or a public
but
park.
I don't know if like Crocol
that might help.
Let's look here. Exploring the course. Champions Palace disc golf course just outside of Oslo, Norway, established in 2018 with the help of a huge team of volunteers. It became the number one course in the region. Spectacular scenery, rolling hills. The course is a mix of fairly open and woodsy golf. Very challenging. Gold layouts a par 62 with a high SSA. It requires power and control to score well. Since the design process started, the goal was to give the best players in the world a real challenge. Par is rated just above 1,000. Blue layout, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it doesn't say, like, if it's anything else.
Yeah, and it's, these European courses are interesting because you have to see them played because there is a handful of courses that have similar vibes to this one where the terrain and the manicure level are just so head and shoulders above a lot what you see in the U.S. And so, like, you look at them and immediately think, well, that has to be the best course in the world. But seeing it actually played out on tour even helps that because now you're like, well, yeah, it just, like, looks like it plays really well too. Because, like, we just played Maple Hill, and that was the coolest disc golf course I've ever played. That was so awesome. But you look, even at Maple Hill, and it's a different feel. it's a different type of property. But even if you look at Maple Hill and the level of attention to that, which there is a lot compared to this, I'm not afraid to say that like it's a big difference. Like this looks insane.
Yeah, no, having just like,
I mean, like it just looks crazy.
I'm gonna be straight with you. This is what the future of disc golf looks like.
Yeah,
and if that means it's European, that means it's European. But like, this is what if you were to put the time and energy and effort people put into a golf course, into a disc golf course,
this is what it would look like.
I feel like this is what it would look like.
Totally.
And what's crazy is, I don't feel like it's that hard.
Well,
it takes a lot of time.
Similar to a golf course, 90% of the battle is turf management. If you have grass and it all looks really nice, that helps. That goes a real long way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just
And then I'd say the next 5% is signage, and the 5% after that is maybe features, like having a water feature,
like,
or
even just like some, a lot of them were professional photos, but even people's like just iPhone pictures out there.
Yeah, it looks
crazy.
It looks mystical, and a lot of it, like, you know, you notice what catches your eye every time though, the grass.
It's the grass.
So
that's
green,
what I'm saying.
And
it's the grass.
So perfect. Maybe we're just grass addicts.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm, nope.
Let us know in the comments. Like, are we talking out of our butt, or like, do you also see this course and think to yourself, like, there's just nothing?
Because that's
like
what I was telling Trevor. Like,
because like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to hear the people that are like, oh, I got a course in the Carolina Woods. It's way better than that. Like, you don't.
Dang.
I'm sorry. Like, this is a different level. There's levels to this game. We've sampled the best of the best.
We've played a lot of the top U.S. courses, and yeah. I think that
we've played Milo. We've played Maple Hill. We
live in New London.
Well. There's haters out there.
I was just thinking, like, what it is to me is, I don't know, I think the attention to detail is the best way to put it. Like, the course all speaks the same language. Maple Hill is the closest.
Wow.
Maple Hill is the closest thing we have.
Delicious.
And Maple Hill, it's the fourth best course in the world, and I think it belongs there. Like, it was the greatest disc golf experience I've ever had. It's just, when you see Crokhole, it's like, holy cow, there is better out there. Like, it's crazy. And we've played, like, Eagles Crossing. We've played it, right? Crokhole looks better, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does.
It just does. I don't know what to tell you. Crazy.
There's also
awesome.
Not artificial dinosaurs.
That is a big part of it. That is a big part. There's also not a train alarm that goes off when you step on a certain step on the way down for no reason.
Well, it's the train hole, Hunter.
There wasn't a train. There was no train.
Train tracks.
I stood there for 20 minutes waiting for the train to go by. Never came by.
That entire... Well, and what about the Buddha? Remember that giant statue?
Yeah, I do now.
There was all kinds of crazy Easter eggs.
That course was just interesting.
It's a fever dream. A lot of fun.
Don't even get me started on the giant Easter eggs.
The Manufacturer Cup update. Ricky's win leads Dynamic Discs leading total points for the week. With earning them 25 points. We had a really good spread here, but Discraft was able to sneak in 4 players.
They always do.
The top 10 with 4. This is a really close race. So Discmania is still in the lead at 388.75 points. Discraft's in second at 386.25. So 2 points separate them.
Wow.
Then a big old jump down to Innova at 186.58. Vino Makala, that switch, earned Innova a lot of points there. Dynamic is next at 150, then Prodigy's at 87.5. Right behind them is Castoplast, which kind of still surprises me, at 77. DGA's at 60. Westside's at 56. Latitude's at 50. And then sneakily, ThoughtSpace Athletics is in 10th at 43 points.
Wow, very sneaky. Is Proctor giving them points?
Yeah, I think Proctor is okay. The one, and I guess Eric Oakley would too, points-wise. Mm. But, all right, it's time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia, right after these messages. Connor, that's just for audio, man.
Okay.
Don't worry. You don't even have to cut that part out.
Don't even worry.
Do I have to cut this part out?
Nope, you don't cut any of it
out. Oh, I'm keeping it all in.
Yeah, we break the fourth wall after this.
Oh,
right?
Dang.
We smash the fourth wall.
I'll ask him first.
Oh.
Seth, dude, how's 29 treating you? Connor, you want to call someone out?
No.
I forgot what we were doing there. It took me a second.
No one else was calling one out? Just me and
Seth? Where am I?
Where am I? All right, guys.
Last week we got Trevor said one name, I said another name, and apparently that was a coworker and his boss.
Wow.
And they both listened to Griplocked on their morning commute.
Dang.
They were having a morning.
So they probably walked in like, dude, did you hear my shout out on Griplocked?
They probably dapped up perfectly. Yeah. Did you make that noise?
No.
Was
that with your hand? That was our hand.
It sounded artificial.
It did.
Oh, it was you?
It's me, guys.
It's so funny because we hear it in our headphones.
Yeah, I didn't even notice. I was like, man, that's crazy.
That's the craziest gaslighting I've ever been a part of.
If you would have said it, I just thought it was my hand. I was like, that was weird.
Didn't feel right.
It didn't. That's why I thought it felt like a weird flop.
What an impeccable timing.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, we're going to play Guess That Bag.
Okay, I love this, yeah.
This is going to be like we did before with Paul's bag, where I tell you whose bag it is and from when, and you're guessing the discs in those bags, and yes, you get more points for the rarity of the disc. Today we're going to be doing one of the most famous in the bags ever. This is
Emily Weatherman.
Climo, oh. Spin TV 2014 in the bag. This is my point and shoot disc, that one.
Okay.
Now, so for this bag, there are certain molds that he has one of. Those are worth the most points. And then, obviously, the more of that mold he has, the least points you get for it.
What year was this
points,
in the bag?
2014. But this is the in the bag that he has, basically.
How many molds does he have in there?
How many different molds? I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay.
I
thought you had just said it. That's what I was asking.
No, I won't.
I don't expect anything of you.
I will, and then so you have an opportunity to make anywhere from 1 to 5 points. There are two molds in here I've considered the hardest to get bonus discs. One of them there's even two of in his bag, but they're both worth 5 points because I would be very impressed if you pulled either of them out of the hat. And we'll go until they're all gone, I guess. Connor, you're back, so you can go first.
The Condor.
Condor. He has one Condor. It's worth 4 points. Not the bonus disc.
Wow. Great guess, though.
What? How is that not the rarest? He only has one.
That's a good point.
Do I have to pick one that he has zero of?
No. No, that's the highest point total you can get based on just like how many he has.
You said that you get
the
five.
Bonus discs are they're given an extra point because of how very difficult to get.
Gotcha.
To people listening, they might think, how did he guess the Condor? But like, if you've seen that in the bag a bunch,
yeah,
you know.
What, didn't he have a disc inside
that
the Condor?
I know, I'm trying to think of it as well.
I figured.
Oh, was it his Sonic?
I was wondering.
Yeah.
Is that 5 points?
No.
Really?
I didn't make those 5 points because I figured you guys would immediately know Condor and Sonic.
I was going to say Sonic.
Because yes, to the most viewers, but to us who have seen that video a lot, the two that are the bonus, I believe, are harder to get. Okay, back to you, Connor. Good first guesses, though. You got 2 4-pointers off the board. There's only one more 4-pointer on the board.
I'll go Gazelle.
Nope.
What the frick was it that he had in his bag that I'm thinking Gazelle?
I'm trying to guess the 5-pointer, so I'm just ignoring.
That's what
I'm ignoring all the common ones. I'm going to go Gator.
Nope.
Dang it.
Just taking. Well, you traded zeros, so.
Coyote.
Nope.
Dang it.
You guys are just playing this game interestingly.
We're both off. We're after the big fish.
Well, we're after the five because everyone's going to get the one-pointers.
You can go for the 4-pointer.
There's another 4-pointer?
There's another 4-pointer. There's two more 4-pointers. And yeah, there's two more 4-pointers. Two more that he only has one of in his bag.
I got my next one.
Firebird?
There you go. There's one of them.
Yeah.
Whip It.
Nope.
Why would he have a Whippet and a Firebird?
Because he had a KC
Whippet. Avery Jenkins was
there. Was a KC Whippet. There's a KC Whippet.
Not in this in the bag.
But it wasn't a stupid guess.
So there's one more 4-pointer or just the 5-pointer?
There is one more 4-pointer.
There's one more of just one disc. It's probably going to be his flippy one. We'll go Leopard.
No. No Leopards.
Eagle?
No Eagles.
2014, it could be a Leopard 3.
Could be.
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
No.
Dang.
This is crazy. Did not expect this game to work out this way.
Well, I know he has less. That'd be specific with AVR?
Yes, because the AVRs change based on their...
Okay, I know he has less KC AVRs than he does KC Rocks. That's actually not true. No, I'll just go KC AVR.
Okay, he had 3 KC AVRs. That's worth 2 points.
That's points.
Yep.
Did that tie us up?
No,
it should be
down
up by two. So I'll just go KC Rock.
Yeah, it's 4 KC Rocks. Yeah, that's worth 1 point.
Dang.
2014.
Yeah. No, Wraith. I'll just go there.
Yeah, he has 4 Wraiths. That's worth 1 point.
Daggum, Ken. Pop off, King.
Has his name on it.
I'll go T-Bird.
Yeah, he's three T-birds. It's worth 2 points. There are still...
So I'm up by four now.
There are still one, two, two normal ones. Or no, there's still, sorry, one.
What is it, Connor? What is it?
One that's relatively easy, and then three kind of harder ones left.
What's the disc you're thinking of, Connor? Connor, what is it? Pull it out. Oh, I know. It's right there on the tip of my tongue. I really feel like I remember, but that's not true. It's not, I can't think of the actual discs, but I'm just going to go on a limb. I feel like I remember him throwing a whale at one point.
Nope.
There was a KC whale, but yeah. I think he threw it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm up by 4 points. So I just need to get one.
There's
that should
disc
be an obvious
in that
one.
Slot, though. There's a disc in that slot. Hunter, at this point, I want you to help me. What was the disc in that slot?
Ah. Well, at this point, we've knocked out. So I've said T-Bird. We've already knocked out his rocks. We've knocked out his aviars. We've knocked out his wraiths. Mm-hmm. We've knocked out his firebird.
Yeah.
Still think there should be a flippy, unless his T-Bird was as flippy as fairway. There should be a flippy fairway, and there should be a flippier distance driver. Maybe that's the sneaky one. Paul threw the crate back then.
I don't remember.
But I don't think he would ever throw a crate, but he could have.
Yeah.
That could be, because there's a 5-point disc out there. Big
there's
fish.
There's 2 5-point discs.
Two different discs.
Two
or
different
two of
discs.
The same disc.
There's 2 different 5-point molds out there. There is a 4-point mold out there. And
oh,
there is a
3-point
mold out there.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of points.
One
on
of
the table.
These one of these is definitely, because I vaguely remember in one of his newer discs, and I just was like, he's a sellout. Like he doesn't that. Like he doesn't throw that disc. That's gotta be one of these.
Okay.
So what would be end of a newer disc around 2014?
It's also still a really easy 3-pointer on the board.
Wombat 3.
No.
Ah, imagine.
I think he had a destroyer in his bag.
He had two. That's worth 3 points.
So now it's just the 5-pointers.
Now there is a 4-pointer and 2 5-pointers.
And I will one currently.
I will help you guys out at this point.
No.
No, because Hunter, I'll, after Hunter goes, it will be even turns. Then I will help you guys out. I'll give you some hints.
I think I have one that might be a sneaky one.
So one of the 4-pointer he had one of, but I think it's guessable for sure. Then there's a 2 5-pointers. One that there was one of that's very tough, and then one that there was two of that is very tough.
Hmm. He has to have a flippy. Well, the other question is the rock the most overstable mid in his bag?
What else would be more stable?
I guessed Gator already.
Yeah. What else do they have at that time? I said Coyote.
Gator 3.
No.
Ah!
All right. So here's what I'll tell you guys. There is one fairway driver and 2 distance drivers left. The fairway is the 4-pointer. The distance drivers, each mold, is the 5-pointers. And Hunter, one of the distance drivers, the one there was two of, Hunter was on a very smart train of thought with the he was trying out some new discs. That kind of vibe. That was definitely the vibe you get from it. So,
new distance
so you're looking for 2 different distance driver molds and a fairway driver.
Colossus.
No.
Eagle L.
No.
Oh.
And I will say, I'll give out another hint now.
What was new in 2014?
The fairway driver is a fairly classic mold, for sure.
Why can't I think of it then?
Both of the distance drivers are on the flippier scale of things.
Oh. Did he have a Daedalus?
No.
I think Daedalus came out too late.
Why did I think that he had one? Probably because it's
just trying to think what came out in 2014. Like, what was the distance driver of 2014?
I have another one. Right, I have another guess. I've been holding onto this disc, thinking it's probably a dumb guess, but I'm gonna just go for it in this next one.
Yeah, there's really no bad guesses because these are tricky. One of them is it's very like the fairway driver. Like I said, it's kind of a more classic mold. It's gettable.
This is 2014.
I'm gonna get that one.
What time of year? 2014.
Doesn't
probably during summer. Looked like it was Arizona in the summer.
I'm gonna get that one. I'm gonna take the fairway driver. Dibs. Hunter, go for the distance driver, okay?
I just feel like the distance driver shouldn't be hard to get.
I know.
They're
tough. I'm pooping my pants
they're tough.
Right now.
I shouldn't.
I've,
like, the distance driver, like,
I have
there's
so
not
many
that
poops
many.
In my pants.
Yeah. They're
Ooh, the
dark.
Turn.
there. One of the five pointers.
Nice.
He had two turns in his bag. Yeah.
Nice.
So there's one more.
Two?
So there's one more. Yeah, he had two. It looked like here, Kenny, throw these in your bag. Yeah. Try these out.
I remember
old man.
Him talking about them. Yeah.
So there's one more five pointer that he had one distance driver's bag and then a four pointer. So Connor, you would need to get them both to win.
I feel like he threw the TL. I'm just going to say TL.
No. So if Hunter gets one more, he clinches.
So I'm already clinching. I've been clinching this whole game.
This is tricky, man. Kenny's got some. He's got like the most basic bag ever, and then he just has these weird, sneaky molds that make it tough. And he doesn't have a lot of discs in general.
He has Firebird, he has T-Birds.
Kind of a classic mold fairway driver left over.
Sidewinder?
There it is.
Nice.
The final one.
I knew it was a flippy fairway.
If you have one more distance driver guess, Connor, doesn't matter, but I'll give you one more guess at distance driver.
Yeah, I'll just take a guess. Distance driver, flippy distance driver, Mamba?
Nope. It's a real fast one. Not thrown a lot at all.
Corvette?
Nope.
Corvette wouldn't have been out yet.
It's old. It's not super old, but like when I got into disc golf, it was out.
I said the Colossus. What else
is there?
Wouldn't
have been out yet back then.
Similar noise at the starting letter.
Oh, the I threw
katana.
Like
katana.
Oh yeah,
wow. An Eco Star katana. Mind
I remember
you.
That.
And it had a,
I
is a green one. And it has a double stamp Star Mako stamp on it.
That's the reason why I had a katana in my.
I was
bag
like,
a long
if
time ago.
I was thinking. I mean, the fact that you figured out turn eventually it was pretty good. But if I was like, if the any of these guys pull out katana, they've seen that more than I have.
The only reason I landed on turn was I was just
so
thinking
like,
what came out in 2014.
Yeah, it was so big
because I was Mystere is where I was stuck because Mystere came out in 2015, 2016, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And that was like an 11 speed, and I was like, it's got to be. It was before that.
Crazy.
It's a turn.
Kenny the champ, man.
That was fun. That was a good one.
Okay, I wanted to first off, I just wanted to ask, did you all see the DGPT survey that went
I
out
did
on
not.
DGN?
I love a good survey.
No sir.
Okay, so they notified. Well, I don't know how you get to it because they notified my, like via DGN, I got a notification that said, like, we want your thoughts.
I think I saw that.
And I clicked on it and it just opened up a survey and it had you like, who are your top three favorite commentators? Who are your top three least favorite commentators?
Man.
And then you had to like rank DGN, like features DGN currently has, rank these 1 through 6. What's most important to you? I put 60 frames a second at 6. I would have put it at 0. Because, like, why are we putting any time, energy, or resource into 60 frames a second? We got a lot of other things to figure out.
There are a lot of things to figure out.
And then it was like, which are the next features that you would want to see the most?
If Silas were here, though, he would highly contradict you. He's a freak for the 60 frames a second.
Here's my opinion.
He's the one that said nobody streams at 60 frames per second.
That's
yeah, I think you're right.
What is the thing he cared about then?
He said, why are they doing 60 frames per second? Nobody streams.
Yeah,
so that's a feature
nobody
they
broadcasts.
Have now.
They have
that's
that
what
now.
He was fired about.
He said nobody broadcasts.
Gosh, I almost misrepresented
you,
me, Silas, my bad.
Because to me, when I'm sitting at home, like, you don't notice a difference.
No, I don't care.
Yeah, like I just, it's like, when it the frames per second doesn't matter if the broadcast isn't clear.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
So then it doesn't matter if we
point
don't have
Hunter.
Good service. But I forget the rest of it. But I just thought it was very interesting.
People were fired up about the coverage. They were saying there was having problems with the app this past weekend.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem. That was one of the things is like, have you had a problem with it this year?
I did not.
And I put no, I haven't yet.
That's nice if they at least
put
out a survey.
I've watched on a lot of different platforms. I've watched on PlayStation, phone, laptop.
Yeah, I've tried a bunch of
stuff. And my Roku TV and Apple TV.
That's what I have, a Google TV.
And that Fire TV.
Google TV, Roku TV, Apple TV over here.
Has so many media.
Oh my gosh. AirPlay from an iPad out there.
There's an AirPlay on the iPad out there?
Yeah. We have an airplane.
Yep.
The Foundation Jet. We got that while you were gone.
Foundation Fighter Jet.
Silas is on it right now. You can get it later.
It's a Boeing, though, so
yeah,
prayers up for Silas.
Well, now prayers up for you after saying something about it.
I actually just got felt with real fear.
Epstein Island.
What? The other thing I wanted to bring up.
I've been gone a while.
Murder. Chill. Something about murder.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is I just saw this on Reddit. I lurk on Reddit. And
I stay lurking on Reddit.
They posted the
sounds
unique,
like a mug.
The winners.
I lurk on Reddit.
All the winners so far this
year. It's a pretty boring list,
like,
isn't
FPO,
it?
FPO. Well, no, FPO is typical. Like, there's like a bunch of parody. MPO. I was pretty like surprised by the parody this year.
Really?
Like you
it's
have
like
your
a few guys. A few guys that are dominating.
Names.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Barella Burr. But now this is where things get interesting, right? Who's so Barella has Burr? 4 wins. Gannon Burr has 3 wins.
Okay, if you take Barella, Burr, Heimberg, and Ricky, do they're probably 90% of the wins?
We still have Nicholas Antela, Simon Lazat, Andrew Presnell, Niemann, Jesse Niemann, and how, James Proctor.
So six of the how many events?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. But, I mean, you gave me five names.
So I'm saying about four names. So three quarters of the events are won by the dominant four in the game right now.
Yeah. But this is the interesting thing. Which, is the dominant four is getting very hairy because now you have Ricky has won. This was Ricky's second win. Heimberg is also at two wins. AB is at four wins. Gannenberg is at three wins.
Cue up that player of the year question for debate night.
The player of the year.
Now that Ricky has got his second win, where do you see? I won't do it.
The player of the year thing, because like now there's only been one major so far. Andrew Presnell took it down. If Ricky,
I want Andrew Presnell to win a second major.
If Ricky,
so bad.
Calvin Heimberg, Gannon Burr, or AB, really not AB because AB has four wins, but if Burr, Heimberg, or Ricky wins a major, the European Open, like, the player of the year gets super, super hairy.
Rick coming on strong like that, I mean, I can practically hear you on the preview show being like, I think this is the weekend that Ricky gets it done.
No, I said that for the preserve, and I was right.
I know. But, like, after this win, it's like, it's written in the stars. Like, oh, man. But, to be fair, last year we said kind of the similar thing about Paul. He won PCS, and we were like, I mean, this is it. Like, he's got European Open coming up next. It's his event. Just won PCS. He's back. What happened?
No, has Ricky won the European Open? Surely.
I don't know.
Yeah, he has, because I think the only major he hasn't won is USDGC.
You might be right about
that. He's definitely giving off big Rick energy.
Yeah.
He won the European Masters. No, he hasn't won the European Open.
Oh.
He's won Worlds, the Aussie Open, Worlds, European Masters, Japan Open, PDGA Championship, and then AM Worlds. When was European Masters at the same place? They just called it something different? I don't think it was. I think there was a different event. Yeah, it was in Stockholm, Sweden. So, yeah, Ricky's never won the European Open or USDGC or Champions Cup. So Ricky has only won one of the four current majors.
Hit him with it.
Andy hasn't won a major since 2017. Separate thing. But that'd be interesting. But I just thought it was we now have two players with two wins, one player with three wins, one player with four wins. I was looking at that picture and I was like, man, things are getting real interesting. Because you also like Ricky, you kind of like Ricky at certain events down the stretch here more than you would like a AB. Or Gannon is kind of like the Calvin of last year where he's just going to be in the mix everywhere.
Yeah.
AB, I feel like, has proven to be a little bit more course specific, but he could still win anywhere. He just feels a little bit more course specific. But
why
I mean,
do you say that?
Because he had that stretch where he didn't play good. Yeah, and those courses were courses that I told you AB isn't going to play good here.
Well, he played well at Champions Cup. He said he was going to play well there.
He played well. I mean, he hasn't played bad all year. His worst finish is what?
Right, I'm just saying, I wouldn't say he's course specific. If like he played well at the woodsiest course out there, I don't think he's course specific at all. I don't think that's fair.
Champions Cup, he came in 10th.
That's top 10 in a major.
Yeah. But I'm saying like compared to the one that scratches my head is like 14th, 18th at DDO and OTB. That makes me scratch my head.
I don't think he's. I think he. I would say that he has. Well, I mean, he is consistent. He had a bad couple events.
He went 10th, 14th,
but
18th,
I don't think it had anything
64th,
to do with
61st.
The courses. I think he just. Had
I just
bad
like other
events.
Players more when Woods get more involved. Like,
well,
Andrew Presnell.
That's a fair statement. Oh, of course.
Yeah, you got like when
he's our wooded king.
Yeah, when you get the Woods involved, you got to go to the pretzel.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah,
pretzel, Andrew Pretzel merch. Andrew Pretzels would be. I would buy a bag of Andrew
Pretzels. Whenever
the
fairways,
can we get a claim on that?
He needs to go. He needs to link up with Double G.
Whenever the fairways get twisty, you want the pretzel.
Yeah, when the fairways get twisty,
yeah,
you gotta go with the pretzel.
We have an entire. Somebody get this guy on the phone right now.
Okay, I'm calling him.
Yeah, Andrew's Pretzels. I mean, not enough disc golfers are getting in the snack game. Yeah,
we're friends on GroupMe. I just said
we need to get in the snack game. We tried to get in the snack game once.
Andrew's Craft Pretzels.
Yeah.
If you add Kraft in there, it just kind of makes it feel...
Yeah, it's like pretzels that you can build with. They're like Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Crafts.
Do we want to tackle the top 10?
I feel like
we kind of have to.
Yeah, we do.
We haven't talked about anything this episode. It's because we killed 15 minutes with that song that killed us.
The song?
That
we killed
awesome.
That song. What
that was so
about?
Much fun.
So, okay.
That was my favorite part.
Here we go.
All downhill since
gents,
then.
It has been a long time.
You like stretch.
So this is our current... Top 10.
I'm so
Calvin
scared.
Heimberg, 1. Gannon Burr, 2. Ricky, 3. AB 4, Nicholas 5, Chris Dickerson 6, Kyle Klein 7, Ezra Robinson 8, Gavin Rathbun 9, Andrew Presnell 10. You can tell when we last updated this.
Well, he had a couple of decent
It was
bets.
After DDO, I think, because he went
first.
It can't
first. Have been that long.
I think so.
No.
The woods got so twisty.
Possible. That was like a decade ago.
I don't think we've done it in a long time.
Here's the good news is, like, at least our top like 4 or 5 makes sense. Still.
Okay, so MPO-wise, Gannon Burr needs to be number one in the world.
I would
opinion.
Say it should go Gannon Rick right now.
Okay, so Gannon 1.
We can rattle off these pretty quick.
Rick 2.
I think it should go Gannon Rick, AB Calvin probably, because AB has the more recent win. So I think that is a that's a pretty easy top four.
I have no qualms there. Okay, but we do need to now take out.
Oh, I was like, now what's happening?
There we go.
Okay. Then from there is where things are getting hairy.
Nicholas Antela stands third in the standings. He just got fourth at Krokol, 27th at Sweden, 7th at Beaver State. I think Nicholas could be an interesting one. He's in fifth currently. Let's see who else is up here. Ezra Robinson definitely belongs in. Matty O has been having a stronger showing recently.
Yeah, say we need to look at Matty O.
Let's
because
go
he's
Matty
been,
O to Nicholas maybe.
Well, we can pretty quickly throw him in there against it, Presnell, and probably get that taken care
well,
of.
Well, yeah, I'm going to start high and go lower.
Okay.
Because I feel like that just, when okay. do we want to go from? Like how recent our recency? 3 months, April to now?
No, it's got to be, we got to go more recent than that. That's
May
that's,
through now?
That's so
May and June, basically.
Like,
I think May 1st to now.
Okay.
Okay. Nicholas Antela compared to Aurum Matt. I feel like Matty is going to have him, to be honest with you.
He's picked it up as of recent.
They're 0-1 against each other. How does that make sense? Oh, they tied at 26th OTB Open because Nicholas hasn't won against each other. Okay, so
Nicholas is going to be pretty tough because he hasn't been in the States.
Yeah.
I guess.
Let's go Matty O to who's next down? Chris Dickerson. That should be an easy one to knock off.
Well,
I think.
Dickerson just wasn't even playing at all there for a minute.
Matty O to Chris Dickerson, yeah, not, 1-1.
Yeah, I say these people just haven't been playing. Dickerson's another guy, just hasn't really been playing.
Okay, well, Matty O came second at Des Moines. And then since Des Moines, he came, let's see, came second at Des Moines, 16th at Krokol, third at the Preserve. So I think we can put Matty O over Chris Dickerson in sixth. We'll compare other people as we get. Andrew Presnell, I'm sorry, he's out of the top 10. Okay, so now let's go Kyle Klein to Matty O.
Yeah.
Who do you think? Gut check.
Probably Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle's 2-1 against Matty O. With the Preserve, Kyle came in second. And then what did Kyle do recently? He just came in 25th at Krokol. That's not factored in here. Does that affect you at all?
Yeah.
Because Matty O came in 16th.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect you? How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I don't think Kyle's been playing as well as Matty O recently.
So Kyle Klein versus Chris Dickerson.
I'm trying to stay recent.
Dickerson's 2-0 against him. But
the bottom half of these top 10s just become like a slew of just like they're okay players.
Here's the thing. Des Moines, Dickerson was played. Kyle went 25th. Dickerson went 21st, didn't play. But Kyle has a podium here. We might have to leave Dickerson. Where is Dickerson on
this?
He
just doesn't play. Like
that's a problem, yeah.
I know. It's
he went through this whole stretch where he didn't
play. It's so
hard,
and then he played
one
event.
He showed up and got 21st. Yeah. I think we got to put Kyle Klein ahead of him.
As I'm saying, Dickerson, like, it's not, yeah, dude's just not playing disc golf.
Okay. Now let's go Ezra Robinson against Kyle Klein. This could be interesting. Where's your gut check with Ezra versus Kyle?
Ezra probably Ezra.
2-2, knotted up like two snakes in a handbag.
Ezra had a really bad
85th
finish.
For Ezra there.
Yeah, a really bad turn.
But let's look at him a little bit more recently because he's also not in Europe is going to be the interesting one. Yeah, he got 85th. Before that, he went 2nd, 16th, 8th at that three-event stretch. But then he skipped the Preserve, which Kyle came in 2nd there and then came back and went 85th at Des Moines.
He's in a skid.
85th is just tough. Like, you can't.
Yeah, we'll keep him down.
Do we keep him at 9th?
Yeah.
Okay, who else is in the top 10 that we're overlooking here? Gavin Rathbun and Joey Buckets. Well, Joey Buckets could be a sleeper.
So we have Rathbun.
So let's go Joey Buckets against Kyle Klein real quick. Joseph Anderson, because he's been on a heater. Okay, Kyle Klein beats him, and then we go Dickerson. It's going to be a really tough one. Joseph Anderson just came top what, five?
Yeah, I mean, comparing Dickerson to anybody doesn't do anything.
So Joseph Anderson, because he just came in fourth in Crow Coal. He came in second at, where is this? Second at the Swedish Open.
It makes this European stretch even harder because now 40th at the Preserve. You have all these players who in the weekend field are going to just look insane because they're going to have all top tens.
So do we go Joseph Anderson over Ezra? How do you feel about gut check Joseph Anderson against Chris Dickerson?
Against Dickerson, that's the thing is, like, if I had to actually bet, depending on the event, but I might probably take Dickerson.
I like this. I like putting Joseph Anderson in 10th and bumping Gavin Rathbun.
It's whatever. This European swing is messing with my
brain. Because Gavin Rathbun could have an argument against Ezra Robinson just because 85th, you got to get punished.
You have to be punished for 85th.
Did he DNF?
No.
I didn't think so.
I think he just had a really bad event.
Let's just look. If he DNF'd, we can forgive, but I don't think he did.
No, never. There's more people than 85.
I would agree, but maybe a lot of people DNF'd.
That'd be a mass DNFing.
85th, Ezra Robinson, there he is, did not DNF. Okay, so I think, here's what we do. I think we put Ezra Robinson out of the top 10, punishment, 85th. Okay. Gavin Rathbun back in.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a top 10.
Take that, Ezra.
Final top 10, Gannon Burr, number one player in the world. Ricky Wysocki, number two. Anthony Barella, number three. Calvin Heimberg, number four. Nicholas Antola, number five. Matty O, number six. Kyle Klein, number seven. Chris Dickerson, number eight. Joseph Anderson, number nine. Gavin Rathbun, number 10. Griplock, top 10.
Take that.
FPO, we right now have Kristen Tatar, number one. She was the ghost player in the number one player world. She was ghost number one.
I think we can resume her in number
Evelyn
one.
Evelyn Asalin, number two. Well, really, number one. The Missy, number two. Own three. Holland, four. Ella,
this
five.
Is going to be super easy because we can get rid of Ella, put in Silva somewhere, and put,
well, we have we six put, players.
Well.
Because we had a ghost number one.
Oh.
Kristen Tatar resumes place
Silva
as number one.
Has to be in here, so it's who do we kick out? Holland, I guess? Or Evelina, even. Or did Evelina just
Evelina
win,
just
won
beat her
nationals?
At the Finnish Nationals. I don't know how much that matters. Just an A tier.
Well, it matters. Everything matters.
Everything does matter. Good.
I think
Trevor.
We kick out Holland, and we go Kristen, Evelina, Silva.
Is Evelina better than Missy and Own right now?
How would
they
we
haven't
know?
Played each
That's
other.
That's what I'm saying.
They haven't played
we,
each other.
We
When's the last time they played
know?
Each other?
A decade ago.
Evelina Solomon's last event that they were at, holy cow, was it's, Champions Cup.
I know. That's
and
a,
she won.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just can't know. What is this right now?
But what's your gut tell you?
My
if
gut
you
tells
saw
me
Evelina.
Evelina
versus Missy and Own, who are you thinking's winning?
Well, yeah, that's the problem is probably wouldn't bet on Evelina.
Okay,
but,
then let's not bet on Evelina.
But her track record
No,
this, year,
this is the Griplock power ranking. We don't
yeah,
have to use stats.
Fine.
This is our gut
yeah,
check moment.
You're right.
Who is the second best FPO player in the world right now?
Silva.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I believe it.
All right. You know what? Let's do it. Let's do it, Trev.
Yeah,
me and
Trev.
You. Me and you. Let's take on the world. Silva
I don't
Saarinen.
Think anybody
and
is
Connor.
Gonna comment and be like, your FPO top five is awful. I hate you guys.
Okay, then who's getting bumped out of the top five?
If they made it this far. Holland.
Holland's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Holla
so
at you.
Kristen
on your
one,
way out the door.
Silva two. Who's third?
You have it exactly how it should be right now.
You like Evelina third? You think
yeah.
Evelina's better
yes.
than Missy and Own? Don't
oh,
know
wait,
if I agree
just,
with that.
Oh, yeah, I just said I didn't.
I don't know if I agree
it.
With
I
that.
I just gaslit myself.
I think Evelina is the fifth best player in the world.
That's not fair, though, because she just keeps winning.
She didn't just win. She didn't play.
Well,
play.
You're right. But she beat the number two person by a lot.
But that was at a non-factor event.
It's true.
Do we, like, they just had that Team USA scrimmage. Do we, like, factor that into LeBron's legacy?
Team USA.
It was a scrimmage.
Good point.
Of course not.
I would like to.
So I think Kristen 1, Silva 2, Missy 3, Own 4, Evelina 5. That feels right to me.
God bless.
That passes my gut check. I don't think it passes the stat check at all. I don't think we have any statistics to back it up, but that
well,
just
statistics
feels
Statistics are
right.
irrelevant.
Edwin's absolutely
Statistics
sick
are
right
made
now.
Up.
Feelings don't care about your statistics.
All right.
Feelings Silas, don't care about your facts.
For Silas selects, Silas is out of town.
He's in Guatemala.
He has texted me using invisible ink.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, invisible
he's
ink.
So smart.
I have it.
Dude,
he's
he is so smart.
Under invisible ink.
Did you
so
tell
have,
him to do that?
No.
He is just tech.
I saw it pop up on my so on my watch. Smart, it said dude. Silas sent a message with invisible ink. So we have all written down preliminarily locked in case we saw it.
Pre-preliminary.
What our guest is. So, Connor, lead us off. What was your
guess? I voted raptor.
Raptor.
I voted raptor.
Did you really?
Yes.
Y'all both guessed raptor?
Yeah.
Dude, Connor, if we 2v1 him right now, it would be amazing. Crazy,
I went koi.
He's been playing a lot of disc golf lately, but he probably won't guess raptor.
Raptor is
assassin.
Like,
he went with the assassin.
So he went straight to our site, probably A to Z that thing. Probably. And was like, well, there's the assassin.
Or he thought.
That would have been a crazy moment.
Or he was like, none of them are going to guess assassin. And he was right. He's a genius.
I can't believe y'all both went raptor.
I only did that
because it's the disc I most associate with Silas.
I thought he was going to go off the top of his head, and he's been playing a lot of disc golf recently and throwing a ton of raptors.
I was just trying to think, like, Silas
he doesn't shy away
on vacation
from,
has to go, what am I trying to fool them with?
And he doesn't
I was like,
shy
oh,
away from
think,
the basic, though.
I was thinking, oh, they would not go with the elevation disc.
I feel like it's every other week that he either
well, he
comes
went PD2 raptor back-to-back.
Nope, he went PD2 assassin.
No, so y'all went raptor.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He kind of goes every other week with
I
that.
Think
that's
he true. Probably was like,
so
Connor,
next week, mental note, next week's going to be basic.
It's like a zone.
Next week's like rock zone,
yeah.
Bullfrog, something basic.
We're on you, Silas. You got bullfrog.
You guys remember that short amount of time when we got bullfrogs in our players pack and you I changed it, them. And I switched to putting with bullfrogs in the middle of a tournament?
Yeah.
That was
common,
awesome.
Man.
I like bartered with people on the bus.
That's
I was like,
how
I want two
I
yellow
knew
ones.
Back then.
Hey, Zach, you want to trade my red one for your yellow one? I need to have two yellow ones.
I kind of knew you as the guy who putted with bullfrogs.
Yeah. I didn't get any better. Didn't get any worse.
I just remember seeing those jump putts flying in.
Like
frogs.
You jumping like a bullfrog, yeah.
Yeah.
That wraps it up. That's I think this is European Open week.
Yep, it is.
European Open preview show will be coming to your airwaves soon. Talk to you then.